Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 57. Where I stand is where I fall. High above everything, where the storm-racked skies raged, Camille Farrow stood on the Hextech platform that was attached to everything. Lightning poured down upon her like rain, striking the massive capacitor rods that littered the rooftop of Stillwater like a mechanical forest over and over, funneling all of that raw power directly into her, sieved through the almighty aspect soul of Janna Chrem. The God Siphon, she had called it, a suitably audacious name for an equally audacious purpose. Practically the whole building was given over to its purpose, and with it, she was being transformed into something more than any aspect host could ever dream of. The Shuriman Empire thought they had mastered the art, but how could such primitive magic even begin to compare to the clockwork perfection of the machine? The answer, obviously, was that it couldn't. Shurima had fallen because it relied on the petty rituals worked by mortal hands, and mortal hatreds had perverted their arts to turn their magic against themselves, burying their empire in sand. This time, though, she would be the sole ruler of the power, and through it, she would shape the fate of Piltover and more. Taking a deep breath, Camille felt the world breathe with her. She felt the laboring lungs of Zaun and the wounded gasps of Piltover. Noxus huffed and snorted like an angry steer, while Demacia's bloodied armies bayed like thirsty hounds. She felt the humid growls of Ixtel, the even, serene breaths of Ionia, and the raucous bellows of Bilgewater. She tasted ice in the air of the Freljord and the toxic miasma of the Shadow Isles. She was everywhere and nowhere. She was the wind. And the storm became her. Then something happened. A jarring rattle shook Camille from her reverie as some part of the machine turned in upon itself. Gears and wires rattled, and the disruption to the flow of energy was an agony that drove her to her knees. Bolts of wild arcane spat and sparked through her as something went terribly wrong. What was it? What had...
Corrin,
Camille snarled. Her dulled senses had been blinded to the world. But she could still feel the stertorous death rattles of the old scientist. He had betrayed her at the last, and disrupted the mechanical function of the siphon. With Seraphine in transit to the roof, the flow between the young host and herself had been cut off, temporarily. He wasn't alone, either. Her darling dove was fighting the traitor Kiriman and that Zaunite mutt she so eagerly spread her legs for, while the treasonous man of tomorrow did something at the console. She couldn't tell. She was too blind. She was out of breath. Camille gasped as she tried to drag in air, but nothing helped. It was as though there wasn't enough oxygen. Her pulmonary augments could function at 20,000 feet and even pull oxygen from the deep sea, but for some reason there just wasn't enough. Lightning arced from her hexgem heart to strike the towers around her, only to turn back and spill back into her. Her limbs jerked and snapped as she tried to control the wild surges, but the pain, the pain! Clenching her jaw, Camille forced herself upright and stood on bladed legs as machine oil cooked on her tongue. She had underestimated Zaun for the last time and was willing to admit that she was paying for it now, but this would be the last time. She could feel them coming for her, climbing up and up and up through Stillwater, and when they got here she would kill them all, and then she would make sure that no one who remembered the name Zaun after tonight would ever associate it again with anything but tempest and ruin. The moment the platform began to rise, Caitlin whipped around, loaded a grapnel round, and fired. A second pull of the trigger was like a ripcord, pulling her up toward the rapidly ascending base, and at the same moment, Vi performed one of her piston-powered charges to meet her as they both landed.
No!
Wren launched herself at the rising platform and clung to the bottom grillwork base like a mechanical spider before carving a hole through the floor and flipping up through it onto the opposite side of the mechanism. Shit. Vi clicked her tongue and brought her gauntlets up in fists, and each one had deep cuts split through the armor with a few spitting sparks. Too much to hope. She'd let this one go, huh? Quite. Caitlin replied as she twisted the gear on the side of her rifle. The lengthy barrel retracted into a short, half-barrel and ejected the spent cartridge, and she loaded a new one just as the panting Wren Gleamspire came around the corner, her bladed arms akimbo. Those red eyes held no pity, no remorse, and worse, no questions. Whatever it was that Camille had done to her, she hadn't needed Hextech to do it. There was damage there that would take decades just to unpack, much less heal. And those were decades they didn't have. Hell, they didn't even have minutes. One more victim of progress. Last chance, Red, Vi said as she squared up, her armor and gauntlets humming as a dense Hextech barrier erupted around her. Spitting on the floor between them, Wren rasped her blades against one another as she fell into a low stance and snarled, "No more chances!" Caitlin's half-barrel barked only for the round to be cut out of the air again as Wren charged down Vi's barrier and carved furrows into it. She was barely reloaded when the barrier collapsed under her unthinking speed and rage, and Caitlin tasted ozone and heard the crack and snap of the barrier emitters in the Atlas gauntlets finally giving out for good. Fortunately, Vi heard it too, and immediately went on the offensive, striking back with almost as much speed while Caitlin danced back, keeping an even distance from Wren while staying behind Vi. She didn't like using her wife as a human shield, but they'd worked and fought alongside each other for as long as they'd been in love, and they both knew their parts and how to play them. Even at the speed she was moving, Caitlin knew Violet's movements like the back of her hand and fired through every gap in her defenses at whatever parts of Wren she could find. It wasn't about hitting her. It was about distracting her. It was about keeping her at bay long enough to find the one gap fate might provide and then exploit it. That was the trick to killing from range, after all. Every target had a moment of weakness waiting to happen, no matter how paranoid or careful, and with enough time, enough stress, and enough opportunities, even the impossible became inevitable. There. Wren's sensible little shoes, worn ragged by the fight and the speed of her motions, caught on the grating of the floor, causing her to hitch just long enough in her stride for Vi to get more than a glancing blow. It wasn't much more, and it didn't do more than stagger her, but it was more than enough for Caitlin as she fired. The Hextech round blew through Wren's left side, opening her up and baring her metallic, augmented insides and spilling something brackish out. Wren screamed, spitting up a torrent of that same oily fluid as she surged forward, but something was wrong. Under all of that, Caitlin could see her body was overheating and badly. Whatever that fluid was, she obviously needed it because now those glowing red eyes under her skin were starting to fluoresce white. Fluid. That fluid was... "Keep going!" Caitlin shouted as the freight lift screeched upward. "I have an idea!" One of the things that had made Caitlin so damn good at her job was her eidetic memory. If she saw something once, she would remember it forever, or as good as. That was why she had been so damn good. That was why she'd noticed the common threads that eventually led to Silco all those years ago. That was how she had protected her people, and now it was how she was going to kill Wren Gleamspire. Every enforcer had something called a noisemaker, a small mechanical siren that made a loud, disorienting shriek. It wasn't even particularly loud, just jarring, and it existed to disrupt crowds or get people's attention. She had used it on multiple occasions to disorient opponents or even distract gangers. She used it often enough and in enough ways that she never went anywhere without it anymore. One never knew when one needed to make a little noise. That also meant she'd gotten quite good at tuning it. Reaching into one of her belt pockets, she pulled out the small siren, flipped it over, opened the back, and adjusted the frequency dial while Vi fought the staggered and leaking Wren. She'd actually managed to get a few decent hits in, denting the inhuman girl's shoulder and face in a way no natural body could, unless it were made largely of metal. "You almost done back there, Cupcake!" Vi shouted as Wren let out a tinny howl and sped up again, her body glowing white hot. Even Caitlin could feel the heat coming off of her, and if she didn't move now, Ren might take them all out, Seraphine included. Done! Caitlin snapped the back closed, turned the noisemaker's volume up to max, hit the button, and then tossed it. As always, her aim was perfect. The noisemaker landed right between Ren's legs just as it released the high-pitched whine at the precise, calculated frequency Caitlin had found in the ledgers of House Bulbach. Ren's back arched painfully, her veins bulged, and that noisome fluid leaking from her body started violently expanding and erupting in flashes of bright white and blue as the product of decades of Piltoven cruelty blared through her.
No, 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 no!
Ren shrieked as something underneath her skin, right over where her heart should have been, began flashing blinding fast.
Vi, get her off the platform!
Caitlin shouted.
Gladly!
Vi snapped at her arms and redlined her gauntlet cores.
This is for Vander!
Then Vi crashed both fists into Ren, and a blast of steam shot out the back vents as all her pistons fired at once, launching the screaming Ren clear off the platform. She dropped like a fallen star down the pitch-black shaft of the lift for a brief moment. Then there was a flash and a deafening boom. The blowback of the explosion shook the entire lift and washed over them like a summer heat wave as her Hextech core went critical. Caitlin watched it happen from the edge of the rising platform, then looked to Vi, and they both collapsed to the floor in each other's arms. She couldn't even find it in herself to be satisfied. All she'd done was kill another person that, had she been better, wiser, and more careful, she might have been able to save.
We did our part,
Vi muttered wearily as she cradled her wife.
Now we just gotta hope we're not gonna face an angry god.
Sighing, Caitlin just shook her head as she slumped against Vi's shoulder.
At this point, she replied, I'm not really sure I care.
Yeah, Vi admitted.
Me neither.
Below them, Jace flinched at the deafening explosion that lit the artificial sky above him, and his Hextech shield flared as it absorbed what little of the fiery blast reached it. His fingers danced across the keyboard of the master console, his eyes flicking back and forth as he searched for an edge.
There is nothing you can do,
Orianna said flatly from where she was sitting with her father, who was lying as if asleep with his head in her lap while she ran the bloodied claws of her hand through his hair.
The machine is already functional. It cannot be stopped.
I'm well aware of that. I invented this stuff, remember?
Chase replied.
Then why do you act in futility?
Jace sighed, but didn't stop searching as he said, Because there is always an answer when it comes to science, so long as you're willing to look for it, and as long as you keep searching and don't let yourself be blinded or get lost, there is always an answer.
Can science answer the pain in my heart?
Now that made Jace pause. He had no time to think about this, but couldn't help. This was his fault. It was all his fault. He had to make it right no matter what it cost.
Yes, he replied finally as he started typing again. But it can't heal the pain. It can tell you why it's there and what it's for, and it can explain everything.
Jace paused again as he ran over one of the systems.
But sometimes having the answers doesn't make anything better. Answers don't fix problems. People fix problems. And right now, I need to fix this problem.
He tapped a key, then smiled thinly.
And I think I just did.
There was a shift of movement behind him, and the metal form of Orianna Revic came to stand at his side.
Father said that stopping Siphon once it's begun will cause the Aspect's power to return to the wild. But that in doing so, it would unleash a storm that would scour most of Piltover and Zaun from the face of Runeterra. Can you arrest that?
Yes and no.
Jace replied as he got back to typing. See, your dad,
he was brilliant. I can't imagine he was trying to blow up the city, so I asked myself, what was he trying to do? Why send her up? Why disrupt it? Just to buy time? No, not just to buy time.
He punched a series of keys, and Jace's smile became a grin.
He gave us a clue. from one Hextech engineer to another. If you can't stop the transmission process, but you can't let it continue, then what can you do? Orianna frowned, then looked up and said,
Put it back where you found it.
Yeah, more or less.
And you can do that.
I'm sure gonna try. Jace turned to look at her, then grimaced. You're not going to go berserk and flay me if I do, right?
No. I will not harm you, former Counselor Talis.
Orianna laid a hand over her chest.
Her programming is still there, but it is suppressed.
By what? Orianna looked thoughtful for a moment, then met his gaze as she said,
My heart, I think.
Jace smiled and nodded, and then returned to the console and made the necessary adjustments. Okay, so this is all theoretical, but it's not like I have time to test my theory, and at this point, it literally can't get worse, so as an old friend of mine once said, he laid his thumb against the last switch. It's time to crank it. And he flipped the switch.
Was something supposed to happen?
Orianna asked. Jace scratched the back of his head, then swore, Yeah, and it will, but... He looked up. It's arrested so long as they're in transit. It won't start until she plugs back in.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.